Hey, welcome to this episode of Uncooked Conversations, where we're going to be talking about family legacy and seven different ideas and buckets or equities that you need to know about how to invest into so that your family can be strong and healthy in the future and also your generations. So let's get into it.
Hi, I'm Paul.
And I'm Allie.
And this is Uncooked Conversations,
where we talk about life, family, business, and everything in between.
Welcome to Uncooked Conversations.
We are so glad that you are here and listening today. We are coming to you from our car. It's a new recording space.
We've upgraded from our closet.
So we're going to see how this goes. No, this is actually what you do when you homeschool your kids and you have like a small window of time when both your kids are at an activity and you're like, okay, let's do this. It's podcast time.
It's podcast time. That's how we should start every episode from now on.
I love it. So we are really excited to get into today's topic because not only do we know that this is going to be a helpful resource and episode for you, but it's also one that feels like it's giving Uncooked Conversations some shape and some form and structure.
It's like a cornerstone.
It's like a cornerstone episode. Yeah, it's just going to help define how we are moving forward. It's been helpful for Paul and I in the way that we think about the content that we are bringing forth to you guys. And so this episode is going to center around a resource that we have created called the Holistic Family Legacy Roadmap. And you can find that on the homepage of our website. You can download it. So if you want to do that now and follow along with us, if you're able to, highly recommend it, uncookedconversations.com, and then you can download that. Or if you need to do that later, that's totally fine. You'll still totally be able to follow along with where we're going on this episode. Just the worksheet can be really helpful. So what the roadmap is that we created, as well as what this episode is about, is we're talking about the seven equities of a healthy and strong family.
But how did we get here? And that's something that we've been discussing and talking about and thinking about. Like when we started Uncooked Conversations, it started just because we were having these really like interesting but difficult conversations that we thought other people could value from hearing and maybe would help you guys and our friends and other people be a little more vulnerable or like feel like they're not crazy. Like, I feel like this too. Like, oh, or we're having these difficulties or these fights or these conversations. And so that's kind of how it started. But as we continued to digest and grow over the last couple of years, we have found that like our hearts and where we're aiming and what we desire and our goals are all sort of moving in the same direction, which is around a multi-generational family team that is also a healthy and strong family.
But neither of us came from that. Paul and I both came from broken homes with substance abuse issues, with mental health challenges, with all kinds of dynamics that are really difficult to enter into adulthood with and to enter into marriage with and parenting with and be able to have a successful life without a lot of really deep work and undoing, reprogramming, all of that stuff. And so we were not given a whole lot of healthy templates, and we have had to work really hard to reestablish our own selves, our marriage, our parenting, all of that. And also to be able to look ahead, to have a vision for our family's future that feels compelling and that
goes beyond us.
Yes.
Right. Like goes beyond us and beyond just our kids. Like what is our legacy? You know, and I've heard that term thrown around a lot kind of recently, but just really kind of digging into what sort of operating system, what sort of mindsets and ways of being do the Parnells have that we would like to establish and hopefully teach and ingrain in our kids and also give them resources so that it doesn't just end with us and it doesn't end with them, but that it can be something that can be grown over time where we're really being considering what seeds we're planting and hoping that, you know, in two, three generations that there'll be harvests of these seeds.
So to bring all of this together, like I said, we have this downloadable resource that covers the seven equities, kind of a fancy word, or just like the seven areas, the seven buckets, if you will.
They're areas of value.
Yes.
Right. Like it's the idea of investing. Mm-hmm. So it's places that you can invest time, money, and effort.
Yeah. Into for your family, for yourself, and for your kids, and to continue to move forward in your holistic family legacy, like your vision for your family. So I'm going to just go through real quick the seven buckets, the seven areas, and tell you what they are. And then what we're going to do is we're going to just break them each down and talk about the goal for each category and what you want to be thinking about. We're going to talk about how it applies to Uncooked Conversations and then how we are practically implementing and thinking about these areas in our life. So we have mental health, we have physical health, we have useful skills and education, mission and impact, spiritual wisdom and maturity, financial independence, and history and tradition. So we're going to go through, like I said, like the goal for each category. But what you want to be doing is also thinking about what kind of personal family goals, rhythms, and disciplines that you need in your family to move toward these pillars each day, each week, and each year. Some days, weeks, months, years, you're going to be making a lot more progress in one area than another. But the more intentional that we can be in each of these areas and develop really practical steps, and we'll give you examples of that in a few minutes, but develop really practical steps to move toward these things, then you'll start just being able to build out a family that is holistically strong and not just like strong in one area, but then weak in another.
Yeah, like the athletic family with no mental health.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because we don't want to become... Like, I guess let's just give a couple like examples of what we don't want. Like there are families that are super, super financially strong and their interpersonal relationships are awful. And then you have some families that are super strong in their spirituality and their finances are awful. And that actually creates a lot of stress in the family. Right. Or you have like a family that has a really great close bond, but they haven't done like a lot to try to impact the world. Like, and like give the gift of that they have within their family. They're not like sharing and trying to bring value to the world. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of keeping it all to themselves. And even just being a strong family alone is such a gift to the world. So people can see that. And so our goal, like we're really trying to build value in all of these areas and not just be like lopsided in our growth as a family.
Yeah, for the purpose of having that balance can influence our kids and then our future generations, but then also our peers and our like our kids' friends and like really quickly how you establish your household can influence a lot of people. And then also obviously through Uncooked, we can help you as well.
As a caveat, like by no means have we figured any of this out. I think
our we're absolute experts. Listen to everything we say.
I think our tagline, like, you know, we came up with this right at the beginning when we first started Uncooked Conversations of like, we're on the journey with you. And I think that is like the pillar statement of our whole podcast and whole vision behind Uncooked. Like we are truly on the journey with you. We haven't figured this out. Like we started in a lot of not great places.
I mean, even when we started this podcast, yeah. We were going through so much counseling.
And oh my like gosh.
Half of our episode recordings ended up being fights.
Yeah, this is true. Yes. And so, you know, we come from a place of humility.
We're your humble delivery servants. We are by no means have figured this out, but these are more like our targets. So we've set up these goals to shoot arrows at.
Yes.
And we're going to keep practicing shooting the arrows as much as we can.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's dive in. So if you have your worksheet already, then you can go ahead and bring it up and look at that and jot some notes down in the box. If you don't have it, just, you know, make some mental notes and come back to the worksheet later. So we're going to talk about mental health first. So the goal of this category is that you have emotional and relationship health in parenting, marriage, and personally, and that the whole family system as a whole functions well and healthily. Like as Paul and I have grown as humans, as parents, you know, being married 11 years into marriage and 7 years into parenting. And, you know, in some respects, that's the beginning stages, but in other perspectives, like we have been in it for at least more than college. And yeah. So what that means for us and our family is that we keep a pulse on and we value things that grow our marriage, such as counseling, coaching, retreats, getaways, dates, things like that. And then also growing in our ability to be honest and vulnerable with each other and to receive each other's perspectives and feelings
and faults
and getting very real about when things are not working in the marriage and having to confront and face those things instead of skirting around them.
Yeah. And also putting in the work,
yes.
Right? And then within the family, you know, it's keeping a pulse on how's our family dynamic?
Yes.
Like, what is it like when we're all together? Is it enjoyable for everyone or is it very difficult? Mm-hmm. Where are the sticking points? Like, am I too harsh? Are you too lovey? Where are things moving in ways that they're not like moving us towards our goal of a healthy, strong family?
For example, something that Paul and I had noticed maybe a couple months back is when only I was with our kids, things moved pretty smoothly. When only he was with our kids, things moved pretty smoothly. But we found that when we were all together, the four of us, there was just some kind of like a dynamic that was created that felt like more friction and tension. And in particular, our kids would just, the behaviors would be more frustrating and difficult to deal with. And so we started to discuss, Paul and I, and like look at, okay, what are the dynamics that are happening in our family? Like when we're all together, what could be contributing to this? And, you know, we could probably do a whole episode on just looking at that family system and dynamic. But the point of this episode is really just to say that, you know, we had that intentional conversation and we both had this awareness of like, hey, like something's not feeling quite right here when we're all together. Let's talk about this. Let's work on this.
Yeah. It's being aware. It's the red car theory. Have you heard of that before?
No.
So how many red cars did you see on the way here?
Two. I don't know.
Yeah. You don't know. But if I told you for every car you saw, mm-hmm. I'd give you $100. How many would you see?
Oh, yeah.
Right. And so it's the same thing in your marriage. And that's what these equities for me are really about, because I spent a lot of my time in my life being really passive, kind of like floating down river.
Like you used to.
Yeah, I used to. And so these equities and these like ways of viewing the world have helped me to take my blinders off and to be much more aware of like, okay, I'm keeping tabs on things, right? It's like when you're doing your books for accounting, like you're counting every dollar, like you're being very precise, but somehow we like allow ourselves, I did anyway, to just be so carefree in a way that like, you're just essentially, if it was money, you'd be losing money. So a big part of all of these equities is just whatever you track, you can change. Mm. And so that's like a big part of what this is all about, is like putting goals in place, coming up with ways to track, being aware, keeping a pulse on all of these different pieces.
Yeah. And then just to touch on the last like little subcategory of the mental health is, you know, how are your kids doing? How's the sibling relationship? How's the parent, like the mother child dynamic, the father child dynamic? Like, what are those different, like smaller relationship dynamics like? And then down to the personal level, like, how are we each doing individually? How are, you know, are Paul and I working on healing our personal traumas from our past? How are we doing with our own sense of well-being? How are our kids doing? Like, one of our kids is neurodiverse. And so how, you know, we have to get additional therapies and support, and how is he doing? And, you know, on and on. So really, in just the mental health category alone, there is like a huge gamut of opportunity to grow and to create value.
Yeah.
And it really does pay off long term.
Yeah. I think the other thing to think about is, because these are all equities, you can invest and grow, mm-hmm. right? Like create values, because it's easy to feel like some of these are more important than others. Mm-hmm. Depending on your background and how you were raised. And so you might be like, oh, physical health is the most important, mm-hmm. but mental health is kind of meh, or financial is more important than everything else.
And honestly, it just depends on like what's blaring in your life. You know, if you feel like your marriage is falling apart or things are chaotic with your kids, like that's going to be the area you focus on, because that has the most pain in your life. So you look at like what is causing you the most frustration, the most pain, the most whatever. And then that's where you can put your effort and energy. And I think we had a lot of that, you know, over the past several years, especially with the loss of two of our parents, Paul's mom and my dad, like that stirred up a lot of, I mean, of course, grief, but then also dug up a lot of the things under the surface for us emotionally that we were kind of
like all the attachment wounds.
Yeah. And that we're kind of keeping at bay with other things for a long time. And so I think in particular for Uncooked Conversations, we're going to center more around mental health than the other areas, just because we've spent a lot of time and money and effort growing this equity in our relationship and in our life.
Yeah. So just for Uncooked Conversations, each of these equities are things that we'll be thinking about. So like Allie said, we'll probably touch on this one a lot because we're constantly learning about it. And also because of our family dynamic with a special needs son, it causes us to have to continue to grow. Whereas like some people could plateau already, like we don't really have that option. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly like having to learn new techniques and new ways of doing things and kind of deeper neurological and physiological things to kind of bring forth healing and health in our relationships and our family. So that's a big area we'll be touching on.
Yeah. And we're just passionate about it, especially me. Like I've always been a psych nerd, so that's not going to change anytime soon. So the next area is physical health. And the goal here is to have strong bodies through nutrition, healthy lifestyle. And really the bigger picture goal is about creating longevity in each family member's physical health, like in your well-being. Because if you think about this, I mean, it's get a little existential here, but if we're lucky, we're living to like 80 to 100 years old. But it's not just about how long we live, it's how much health we have in our lives. And of course, you know, there are diseases, there are ailments, there are things that happen to us physically, accidents, all of that, that it's like are, I don't want to say unavoidable, but there are just things that happen. So I certainly don't want to, you know, it's just like with the mental health stuff, like there are traumas and tragedies that happen that it's like you have to deal with it once you have it. But I think for the physical health, our goal should be to, with the cards we've been given, develop as much longevity and as much
quality
of life. Like give ourselves as many healthy years as we can, because that in turn becomes a blessing to everyone around you, to your kids, to your spouse.
Obviously to you.
But it's like, if you're only thinking about yourself, you may or may not do it. Like that's the reality. But when we start accounting for the people in our lives that are impacted by how healthy we are, then it creates a little bit more intensity to it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think too, like when you're investing this time and effort now and it's giving you longer life, like it's really easy to believe this lie. When you get old, life just sucks worse, right? Like I'm going to be slower. I'm going to be more brittle. I'm going to be weaker. I'm going to be less mentally aware. And like, it doesn't have to be that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like there are so many examples of amazing old people. Mm-hmm. Like I saw this video not too long ago where there was like 60, 70 and 80 year olds doing these like crazy calisthenics stunts, these old Asian men, like literally holding onto poles and lifting their whole body straight out. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like what am I doing with my life? Right.
Yeah. Like I follow this 170-year-old woman on Instagram who she is like so flipping strong and young and vibrant and healthy. I'm like, she could totally beat me at like anything, like I guarantee it. And so like one of my goals, if you will, because we have two boys, our oldest is 7 right now. And for as long as I can be, I want to be faster and stronger than my boys. So as they get older, like I need to increase my intensity. I know eventually they're going to outpace me and get stronger and all that, but I want to keep that bar like high and keep pushing towards being strong and capable. On a little bit more serious note, having lost, like each of us having lost a parent in the past handful of years, my dad 2019, your mom 2021, it is, I mean, obviously losing your parent alone is really devastating, but what continues to be devastating over time is the reality that you're not going to get to enjoy life with that person, that they're not going to see your kids grow. They're not going to get to hear the stories of, you know, your kids playing soccer or going to Disney or whatever. And It's
losing their first tooth.
Yeah. Like all of these little moments. And then our kids are not growing up with basically all but one grandparent in their life, like very presently. And it like decreases that sense of like a family culture and bond. It's, you know, you kind of feel like a smaller unit and it's like, oh, everybody else has all these grandparents and all these cousins. And so I think losing parents younger than what feels like we should have lost them gives a little bit like even more fuel to my fire of the importance of doing everything I can do in my own control to be as strong and healthy as I can for as long as I can.
I think that's right on. I think for Uncooked, what that looks like is, you know, when we learn mental tricks, like one of the things we really enjoy is a good face ice plunge. we learned that you get most of the benefits of an ice bath, but it's a lot less unpleasant. So, you know,
I would say like this area of our life, we're not
nearly as expert.
We haven't invested as much into this area, but it's important to us. And like, we're going to be candid with you about our process. And so, but this is an area that we're starting to invest more time and energy and money into now. And so I feel like the mental health side we've spent a lot in, and now we're starting to like reallocate some time and energy into the physical health side of things.
Yeah, but we do have some like pretty good knowledge around like nutrition and a few things. Like you've been spending years learning about nutrition and
That's
stuff.
True.
So you can expect those kind of things. And then as we learn more, obviously, like pretty much this is where we learn more, we put into Uncooked Conversation.
We'll share it with you.
It's Parnell's motto. We're going to get this on a big placard somewhere. Like, I want to know more.
Yes. If you love our Uncooked Conversations podcast, then you're going to love our new online store. We're adding new items every month to help inspire families like yours to get healthy and to also get practical in how they are moving forward in their healing journey. You can find things on there like the Grief Sucks t-shirt or the Flexible Homeschool Planner and many more items like this. It's our desire to help you and your family flourish. Now back to the show. Okay, so moving on to the next one.
Speaking of wanting to know more, useful skills in education.
Yes. So this one I also think could be its own episode because I have so much to say on that in the realm of like homeschooling and stuff. So maybe we'll do that. But really, what I wrote down here is the goal in this category, it's not just about, okay, we're going to go to school and have good grades and go to college and all that. Like, it's a little deeper than that. It's to have minds and hands that are skilled and resilient with a level of self-sufficiency that can contribute to the family unit and also to the community. Now, this one, again, probably needs its own episode because there's actually a huge mindset shift that has to happen to understand this at a deeper level when you start looking at your family like a team and intergenerationally instead of just like it's all about
the nest,
maximizing each individual's capacity to go out into the world. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't already have that mindset, which totally fine, like not a big deal. But
go back and listen to the other episode if you want to learn more about that.
Yes, exactly. But the point of this one is recognizing that the family unit is a unit, that we are a team, and that we can contribute to the well-being of the team with the skills and education that we develop over time. And, you know, it's not to say that you're forever and always going to be just like giving back into the family only, but that as the family grows and matures, you know, how wonderful is it when you're like, oh yeah, I have an uncle that knows how to fix cars. My niece is an architect. And so you build this like larger sense of family and skill set and value. And this is actually one of the big reasons why we homeschool, so that we can more precisely instill in our kids the types of skill and education that we believe is going to be beneficial to them in their future, but also to the family unit as a whole.
I think it's hard because we're so surrounded by a completely counterculture to this of just like super individualistic. And anytime you're like, learn this for the family or learn this for something else, We're like, no. But as soon as you're like, learn this skill so you can be more valuable at work, you're like, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's because we've taken all of the value and structure out of family. But if you think of family as like the first organization you're a part of, and the one that if no matter what you do, you can never be fired from, all of a sudden you're like, oh, like it's actually really valuable to be a part of this family. And especially if the family itself is also equally providing value and growth to you. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have seen a lot of pictures of this idea of a bigger organism stealing from the members, right? Mm-hmm. But I think in a good, healthy family, the family is providing nutrients, opportunities, growth, love, purpose for the members. And the members are also providing strength and value and skill and opportunity for the family.
So this particular one, again, like if you don't already have a certain worldview and mindset, might be like not feel quite as important, or you might just see it differently. And that's fine too. Like you're welcome to adapt these to, you know, what works for you and your family. But this is the lens that we are coming from, this more family team perspective.
So what this means for Uncooked is we are avid learners, and we're also learning how to learn and how to teach our kids. So you can expect content on homeschooling, mm-hmm. on self-education, on pretty much anything to do with bettering yourself in some way.
And also critical thinking and outside the box learning experiences. Like I grew up in a very academic home that really prized and valued academics, as well as like going to college and getting advanced degrees and all of that. I never felt this insane pressure to do all of that, but it was just very highly regarded in my family. And I really love college and education. At the same time, I've really learned that outside of the box education and experiences can sometimes far surpass what a traditional education can give you.
Yeah. And so you can expect things like that.
Yeah. Okay. So one last thing I want to say about useful skills in education is around self-sufficiency. And when a family or even an individual has more skills and education around being self-sufficient and autonomous, the more resilient that you can be. And it's not that we all need to go live off grid and be like, you know, living in the woods, kumbaya, but it's really looking at how can we develop more strength as an individual and as a family so that we're not so dependent on all these external systems that, as we have seen over the past handful of years, are not the strongest and are crumbling and failing in many ways. Yeah. And so I think now more than ever, finding skills that you enjoy that also build some self-sufficiency is really important.
Yeah, like gardening, hunting, building, mm-hmm. how to create clean water.
Yep.
Stuff like that.
So next up, we have spiritual wisdom and maturity. So the goal of this one is to have a meaningful faith and clear understanding of beliefs along with maturity and wisdom. Because, you know, you can have a belief in, you know, whatever kind of religion and belief system, but if you don't also have a maturity and a wisdom along with that, then things just get a little bit messy.
Yeah, definitely get messy.
So that's why for me, the words like wisdom and maturity felt really important beyond just like having spirituality. It's like, let's have a mature spirituality, a like thoughtful, like well established. And so for our family, that's a biblical worldview, Christian, although we are very outside the box.
So what that means for us is that, you know, we come from a Christian biblical worldview sort of perspective. And so instilling those values into our kids, but also a way to critically think about spirituality, yes. so that it's not just like the preacher said it, therefore it's true. Or I learned this in a book, you know, but also being able to take the Bible, for instance, which is one of our, you know, most prized spiritual books, and going like, okay, well, this is what this translation says. But what happens if we dig deeper and see what the actual like original text says? And like, what are the different translations?
Yes, being able to critically think and ask questions. And that's how you develop the wisdom and the maturity in your spirituality, like whatever your belief system is critical thinking, asking deep questions, wrestling with things, wrestling with your faith, and allowing yourself to look at other perspectives to either like chafe against what you believe, and maybe you need to reconsider some things, because we all do. We're all wrong. Let's just establish that we're all wrong in different ways.
I think that's in the Bible somewhere.
Or to reaffirm what you believe. Yeah. And we need to allow that rub, and we need to pursue that rub.
Yeah.
And to become more grounded, articulate people.
Right.
And not just conform to the pattern of the world, and not just conform to
even the pattern of like the popular church. Mm-hmm. I think something that comes to my mind is in that same relation. It's like, if you look at religion or the, you know, the Bible or whatever part of, you know, whatever religion you're following as a strictly a rules base, what happens is you don't grow a critical ability to determine good from bad. Mm-hmm. Instead, you're just trying not to do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And so what you want and what I want in our kids and what we're working to develop is the ability to like look at like biblical texts and what we spiritually believe, and then go deeper into that and be able to answer the questions as best we can, or at least have the freedom to ask the questions and chew on it. And if there is no answer, just being okay with that for now.
Yes.
And continuing to move forward. So that's kind of what we're, how we're thinking about our spirituality.
Yeah. So it's really important to us to teach our kids how to have relationship with God and to know God. And also, like, we're growing in that. Like, we're going to do a whole episode on our faith crisis at some point. And I mean, it was a long arduous journey. You know, we are growing alongside of our kids, but as we grow, we want to instill what we come to feel convicted of into them, but also allow them to ask hard questions and not shun that. Like, they have to believe this or else.
Yeah.
But allow the freedom to wrestle with things together as a family.
Just as long as they don't believe Amazon is God. It's what our preschooler said the other day. Yeah. They're like, I know what Amazon is. We're like, what? God. And then he's like, I tricked you. I'm like you sure did.
Oh, that was funny.
Oh, my goodness.
That was really funny. So what that means for Uncut Conversations is you're definitely going to hear things from a biblical worldview and perspective, while also having a holding the tension of respect for other worldviews and being willing to have both conversations with other people and also just kind of honor where everybody's at in their journey.
Yeah.
Because we have all been at different places in our journey, both with spirituality within ourselves and, you know, so we certainly don't ever want to come to this podcast, though we have a strong conviction and belief system, with a kind of separation and or arrogance or.
Yeah, we're not coming to hate on other people. No.
We also just want to be free to share our belief system.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this podcast, then that's your choice. Yeah. So we have warned
you. Either way, we love you.
Yes.
So the next one is financial independence. And obviously, like, you know, if you're a middle-class American, everyone's striving for this. So, and if you're not a middle-class American, you're probably either striving for this or have this. Mm-hmm. And if you're somewhere else in the world, you also probably really care about finances. Like, it's one of the things that's top of the mind on most people, causes more conflict in relationships, more conflict
politically.
In political venues. So this is like really important.
Yeah.
You know, being able to understand and kind of how to build and all of that. What is the goal here?
Yeah. Well, and so in particular, instead of just finances, I wrote financial independence because, like we said at the beginning, this is about establishing strong family units. And so for me, and the way I think about this, or for us, sorry, is the goal is to have family members that are capable in investing and entrepreneurship and also able to manage and steward wealth appropriately. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to go become Warren Buffett, that every single person in the family needs to be this like multi-billionaire, like high achieving person, but to have a mindset of investing, a mindset of entrepreneurship, of the ability to create wealth opportunities, the ability to know how to invest money for a return? And then also the money and the wealth that you have, how do you steward that appropriately? Now, for one family member, like I say family member, like when we're raising our kids and we're talking to them and teaching them about the finance world, we're going to teach each kid according to their giftings and their bent. And so one kid may end up becoming obsessed with entrepreneurship and go on to excel tremendously. And then another one may want like what you might call a typical 9-to-5 job, but we still want him approaching his career with an investment mindset.
There's a really good book we read a long time ago called Thou Shalt Prosper. Mm. And it talked about how it's written by a rabbi, and it was talking about how Jewish people, when they go to work, they don't go to work thinking that they're an employee or a slave to the owner and the employer. They come thinking that they are their own company and that their company is working for this employer. And so what it does is it causes you to come with this investment mindset of like, how can I provide even more value than they're expecting? And of course, you know, as an employer, what happens is you're like, I love this person and I want to give them as much responsibility as possible. And so it's kind of coming with that idea of like, no matter where you are, be the best you possibly can be. And also think ahead, right? Like, I think a big part of investing is just the ability to hold out some quick gratifications for those a bit longer term goals.
Yeah, the bigger the reward.
And so that's kind of what we're looking at in our own family.
Yeah. And so for our family, I mean, again, we're homeschooling our kids very intentionally. Like, we really value teaching our kids about financial literacy, education, entrepreneurship. And then also us, like, we've been entrepreneurs for 10, 11 years, and we've gotten into investing in the past couple years. Not saying by any stretch that we are like highly successful at it yet and like to be copied, you know, like we aim to be there, but we see a huge amount of value in having this skill set and mindset, and we continue to grow in it every day.
And teach them and bring them along.
Yeah, like both with our kids, but also us. Like we aim to be at a place, you know, in the years to come that our kids feel like there's a roadmap forward for them to also walk that path and beyond.
Yeah. And so you can definitely expect in Uncooked, as we actually achieve some of these successes that we're aiming at, to, you know, have resources and things that we were able to achieve.
Yeah. And just like talking about finances and being more open with it. I think finance is a very interesting topic because it's both like the thing that people, I don't know, especially in America, I think like kind of brag about and like flaunt, but also there's like deep shame and struggles and like mindset issues around finances.
So it can be so emotionally impactful.
It is,
because how you grew up, what finances was like, what it causes you to do, your relationship with it.
Yeah. So I think addressing a lot of wealth mindsets, financial mindsets, you know, stuff like that.
It goes back to mental health.
It kind of does. It
all ties in. Your finances.
Yeah. And so we're definitely going to be talking about that.
Okay. Now moving on to history and tradition. This is one of your favorites.
Yes. I really like this one a lot, though. Admittedly, I haven't done a lot of actual groundwork in our family for this yet, but it's something that I have a lot of vision for. So for this one, the goal is about having strong family traditions and culture that can be passed down via clear record keeping, rhythms, and meaningful storytelling. So let me break that down a little bit, because each of those actually has a lot within it. So strong family traditions and culture. Some of us grew up in a family that has really strong traditions and culture in it, and some of us did not.
Some of us were white, disenfranchised Americans.
I mean, I guess not just white people, but just Americans. We have like a very...
It's a melting
dissolving,
pot.
Dissolving family structures, traditions, culture.
So we don't really have this sense of rootedness and groundedness in the history of our family and our family story. Like, we've heard some really fascinating illustrations about the difference between a typical American family and, say, like a Jewish family, where they get their sense of identity from their fathers and their fathers before them and before them, and their like family unit. And there's like a culture and there's traditions that bind them together.
And in that same regard, like, humanity was built to live and to be connected and have purpose from teams. And if you don't find it in your family,
what do? You look for it everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. And so in the second part of this goal statement for the history and tradition, I wrote that you have these traditions and culture that can be passed down via clear record keeping rhythms and meaningful storytelling. So like record keeping, for example, photos, videos, documentation of things. And as we're raising our families and collecting things, one of the things that I personally am thinking a lot about is how can I preserve the most important parts of my kids' childhood and also our family in a way that's digestible. I think this is the key, because these days we have access to more photo taking and more video capturing than ever before. But it's like
so many gigs of video.
Right. But it's like, when do we ever go back and look at those things? And in, you know, 50 years from now, like, gosh, half of our life is going to be all digital. And it's like, how do we create something that is like something meaningful that you can pass down to your future kids? And so it's not just about us and having all these videos and blah, 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 posting on Instagram. But I want to be able to show my kids and grandkids and so on what our life was like, what our thoughts were. But it has to be digestible.
Yeah. I mean, I think about like my mom, how much would I give to have the videos that we have of us and the kids?
Yep.
Of her and her family.
Yeah.
Like, it would be amazing.
And just to hear her voice.
Yeah. And so it's so, so valuable to keep these kind of things, because in 2-3 generations, they have access to videos of great grandpa Paul and great grandma Allie, you know?
That's wild it to is. Think about.
It's so special. Yeah. And, you know, and I think even in that, like, it makes me want to think about, you know, older Paul, like what kind of sort of guidelines would I give to the family? Like what, like make sort of our marketing video for our family of just like, hey, welcome to the Parnell family. You know, like, we're so glad you made it.
Oh my gosh. Like an onboarding.
Yeah. An onboarding.
Oh my gosh. You know, we've been in like marketing business too long. When
you've made it from heaven. Thanks for joining us. Here's some tips.
Oh my word.
You know, so it's super valuable to have those things and be able to hang on to those records. I think it's so special.
And then I think the other piece of that too, it's really intertwined with the record keeping, is meaningful storytelling. And I mean, you are such a great storyteller.
Thank you.
And I think that finding those stories of our own life that maybe we want to write down, maybe we want to write, like we've talked about this, about writing like a family book or writing a book between us that we, you know, is really just meant for like to pass down to our kids and grandkids and all of that about
even just the story of us.
Yeah. Like the story, like just any kind of stories that you can capture that help paint a picture. Because for me, the way I think about it is we've done a heck of a lot of work.
Yeah.
Paul and I, to rebuild the foundations of our life and our family. And we don't want that to be lost in future generations. Mm-hmm. Our kids and our grandkids are going to have a much higher floor to stand on than we did. And I think that's how it should be, generation to generation. But we also hopefully are not like, we don't want to see our future generations lose a lot of ground and go backwards. And, you know, you can't prevent everything, but I think that preserving history and tradition is one of the most important pieces to actually preserving all the work that we've already talked about with mental health, physical health, skills and education, on and on and on. Like, you can do all of this work in your lifetime.
And it can die in your generation.
And it can also die in your generation or in the next generation, unless you have a really good way to preserve it and pass it down.
Yeah.
And so I don't have like the answers to this at all. It's something that I'm exploring and thinking about, but it's also something that I would encourage you to think about for your family.
Okay. So last one, mission and impact.
So the goal of this final category is to have a clear family mission and a vehicle for impact that can bless and influence the world around you. So as individuals, we all have a heart to see certain things change in the world. We have things that we want to impact. And I think especially in our American Western culture, we get very hyper-focused on our individual purpose, our individual mission and impact. But what if we expanded that and looked at what is the family impact? What is the family mission? Because we can do so much more together than we can as an individual.
Right. Yeah. 100%. I saw this video of like 300 Amish people carrying like a 2-ton
building. Yes.
And it's like, we have been so culturally formed to believe we have to do all of this by ourselves and put our flag on the mountain versus like lock arms with as many people as you can, mm-hmm. you know, and like that's where real movements happen. So,
and so this is something that for our family, we have not created yet, like officially on paper, but it's something that we are currently thinking about and talking about. And of course it can evolve and change over time, but we want to get something on paper probably in the next 6 months or so.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. One part of it is Uncooked.
Yeah.
And our desire to
help other families
mm-hmm. that come from broken backgrounds.
Yeah.
Make progress towards health.
Yeah.
And then for mission and impact.
Well, I think whenever we come up with our mission and impact statement, then we'll share it with you guys.
Yeah.
And
I think also bringing people on board that have amazing missions and impact and can help us all guide all of us towards finding a mission for our family.
Yeah. Certainly, we don't want to keep Uncooked Conversations just about us. I mean, though we love talking to you guys, we want to bring on people that are way smarter and more experienced and wiser than us and have them share. So I think it'd be great to do an episode around some families sharing their mission and impact.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
So to wrap all of this up, the Holistic Family Legacy Roadmap, the 7 areas that we talked about were mental health, physical health, useful skills and education, mission and impact, spiritual wisdom and maturity, financial independence, and history and tradition. We hope that this episode was helpful to you in just giving you a bigger picture vision and framework for thinking about growing and strengthening your family as a whole. And if you want to get your hands on this resource, if you don't have it already, then you can go to our website, uncookedconversations.com, and it's right there smack dab on the homepage. This roadmap will help you build clarity with your partner, giving you guys a big picture framework to talk through for your family's future, and then also how to create steps to take toward a healthy family that you have dreamed of. So with that said, we are so thankful for you guys. Please reach out to us on Instagram if you have any questions, want to start a conversation, shoot us a DM. While we're still a smaller brand, we are happy to respond, though we may close that off in the future. We'll see. And until next time, we're on the journey with you.